Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
I wish we taught more in our schools about the Islamic faith. I wish we talked about all the great confessional faiths. And what people don't realize is one of my avocations is theology.
It's interesting that the sort of like traditional American leftism is clashing with, you know, millennial progressivism.
The Reformation was not a revolution. And thinking we have to take on and imitate the worship styles and practices of non-sacramental Christians is very dangerous.
I think the first thing is just knowing the arguments about the truth of the matter. That's why shows like yours, Issues, Etc., are so important, because you're equipping people to make the argument.
Iowa State University computer science graduates love Issues, Etc.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
When the restrictions due to the global pandemic were first put in place, houses of worship were by and large very cooperative with shutdown orders. But as time has gone by and the orders have remained strict for churches but not for other mass gatherings or businesses, churches have started to feel like maybe they're being singled out. Are they? In some states, churches have challenged all the way to the state Supreme Court governor's orders, and the governors have backed down. But the Supreme Court recently made a decision that may embolden those governors to reimpose those tighter restrictions for churches. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Monday afternoon. We're going to be talking about the Supreme Court's rejection of a Nevada church's challenge to the COVID-19 shutdown rules. Ryan Tucker of Alliance Defending Freedom will be our guest. A little bit later, we'll talk about the beliefs and practices of the Amish with Dr. Alvin Schmidt, co-author of the Encyclopedic Dictionary of Cults, Sects, and World Religions. Joining us to discuss a recent Supreme Court decision having to do with the Nevada church and COVID-19 shutdown rules, Ryan Tucker. He's senior counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom. ADF represented Calvary Chapel, Dayton Valley in this case. Ryan, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
What was Calvary Chapel, Dayton Valley? What was their complaint in this case?
Well, you mentioned some of the many governors across the United States that have really overreached their ability to protect the health and safety and welfare of its citizenry. We certainly don't have any issues with that. But when you have a climate like this, your First Amendment rights don't just simply go away. And in Nevada, casinos, bars, restaurants, theme parks were opened at 50% capacity, but churches were limited to 50 people. And so recognizing the inherent problem with that, the unconstitutional nature of it, we got involved and we filed a lawsuit on behalf of Calvary Chapel, Dayton Valley. It's a church just outside of Carson City, Nevada. It's in a rural county. They've had hardly any COVID cases there. And we filed a lawsuit on their behalf and took that issue all the way up on an emergency motion basis to the United States Supreme Court. So it's important for your listeners to understand that case is not over. They're disappointed that we didn't get immediate relief from the U.S. Supreme Court, but the case is still being litigated.
So how is or did the case fare in the lower courts?
Yeah, so after we filed our lawsuit, we filed a request for temporary restraining order and a temporary injunction with the federal district court. We had an argument on that request, and the trial court there denied that requested relief. And his denial was in part based on another matter, another case that actually came out of California that also went up on an emergency basis to the U.S. Supreme Court. And in that decision, that's the one that Justice Roberts wrote, he said basically that there was going to be some deference given to local officials, but that deference was not without some restriction. And we think still that this case actually is one that shows what those constraints look like. And we're hopeful that once this case, the Calvary Chapel case in Nevada, once it's fully briefed, once it's argued for the Ninth Circuit, if it needs to be and does make its way all the way back to the U.S. Supreme Court, we think that Justice Roberts and the remainder of the court will have an opportunity to issue a final determination on that.
What arguments did both sides present?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, we don't give up our First Amendment rights even in times of crisis and a pandemic like this. And so we made freedom of religion arguments. We made free speech arguments and certainly assembly arguments as well. The response by the state was that, well, look, we're regulating casinos. We're regulating these under industries. And so because we're somehow regulating them, that, you know, that's okay. And it's okay to keep most of the doors of these churches closed. But as Justice Alito noted in his dissent in our case, he said the Constitution guarantees the free exercise of religion. It says nothing about the freedom to play craps or blackjack, to feed tokens into a slot machine, or to engage in any other game of chance. And he's absolutely right. We don't have the constitutional right to go to Vegas and play the slots. We have the constitutional right to worship. And we're hopeful that at the Ninth Circuit now, and if we need to later on back to the Supreme Court, the justice will see that.
What was the majority's reasoning on the court? What was their reasoning in this decision?
Well, unfortunately, we don't know. What happened was, so it's an emergency motion. We took it up, and the only justices that provided a written rationale were the dissenters. Justice Gorsuch, Justice Alito, and Kavanaugh, and Thomas also joined in on it, but didn't write separately. They explained the rationale for why this is an unconstitutional, you know, overreach. And I would encourage your listeners to go and read them. They're a good read. It's a little bit frustrating too to read, but they're about 24 pages. Even Justice Gorsuch does so in one singular paragraph, I think sort of distills the argument. The majority opinion, the five that went against us, though, they simply denied the requested relief. There's no explanation as to why. I can surmise that it's based on another decision or another ruling from about a month and a half ago where, like I said, Justice Roberts wrote a concurring opinion where he was talking about giving deference to state or local officials. But again, our hope is that when you have a case that's been fully briefed, when cert has been granted, when the Supreme Court has said, yes, we want to look at this case in more detail, we're hopeful at that point maybe they'll reach a different conclusion.
Describe the dissenting opinions you just mentioned.
Well, I mentioned what Justice Alito said in part, but again, they point out really what we argued was the commonsensical argument, that the fact that how in the world can you have casinos where literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people can congregate for extended periods of time and have that be okay or have that be somehow not a health concern, but at the same time preclude a church in a rural county that wants to put all types of health and safety protocols in place and also even limit their service to 45 minutes. How in the world can one be okay and the other not? And it's not. It's unconstitutional to treat religious organizations less than comparable secular industries. And if it's, again, it's a common sense argument, but it's also a constitutional one. And as Justice Gorsuch mentioned himself, he said the world we inhabit today with a pandemic upon us poses unusual challenges. But there is no world in which the Constitution permits Nevada to favor Caesar's Palace over Calvary Chapel. And I think that sort of distills this. To us, I think hopefully ultimately either at the Ninth Circuit or at the Supreme Court, very clear that the Nevada governor has overstepped his bounds.
How do you explain Chief Justice Roberts siding with the liberal majority in this case?
Well, you know, it's difficult to ascertain because we don't have a written ruling from him in this instance. We're hopeful that we can obviously get him to see the arguments that we've made here if this case makes its way back up to the U.S. Supreme Court. So it's really impossible to tell. at this point, and obviously it was disappointing, although, again, I have to underscore the fact that this was an emergency motion. This is I don't know if I would say extreme, but it's not a common procedural vehicle by which you get a ruling from the United States Supreme Court. But the reason we did it is because each weekend, as we all know, is again, another missed opportunity to congregate and to worship God. And so because of that, and because of how slow most of these cases normally are, we wanted to take that challenge and to get that before the U.S. Supreme Court. And again, in addition to this case, we've got a couple other matters that we're dealing with. And so whether it's this case or another, our sincere hope is that the entire court, or at least the majority of the court, will see the unconstitutional nature of this Nevada law in particular, but there's others out there as well.
Some have speculated recently, because there have been some puzzling decisions from Chief Justice Roberts, that he is trying to guide the court through very difficult times and kind of keep the court on an even keel. You had mentioned earlier that the court had already said that they want to give deference to state officials. Do you think that might explain Roberts siding with the majority in this case?
It might be, and it could be also the fact that, again, this is a request for extraordinary relief, but, you know, it's impossible to tell at this juncture because we don't have a written opinion from him. But our hope is that after we fully brief, number one, that we prevail at the Ninth Circuit, the Court of Appeals there. So, you know, if the state were to not take that up, or if we were to prevail there, then hopefully that would be the end of the story. But if we have to continue litigating on behalf of this church and we get back before the United States Supreme Court, it's possible, we're hopeful that Justice Roberts would look at it and say, all right, I've got a more fully developed record. There's more facts. We know more now about the issues in play, and we can see the fact that this is in a rural county. There's not many COVID cases there. And even putting those issues aside, even the expert-related issues aside, delve more deeply into the fact that it's not constitutional to be treating the church the way the church is being treated in that state.
Can you explain Nevada's position on houses of worship versus other businesses?
Yeah, there's a lot of verbiage in their briefing, and I think to not just the average lawyer, but to the average listener looking at them, it's really impossible to explain because there is no proper rationalization for it. It makes no sense. You don't have a First Amendment right to go gamble, but we do have First Amendment freedom of religion and certainly speech and assembly as well. And we made all of those arguments at the trial court. So again, it was disappointing that the trial court didn't see it that way. And the Ninth Circuit, when we went to them originally, they just denied that request in a single sentence. And what I mean by that is we were asking at each stage for emergency injunctive relief. And again, just because a court says yay or nay after that request doesn't mean that's actually a ruling on necessarily the substance of what's before it. And so we're still going through the briefing process of the Ninth Circuit. We're hopeful for a positive result there, but either way, we're going to continue to litigate on behalf of Calvary Chapel and other churches across the United States that find themselves in these predicaments.
Several governors have been challenged in their state Supreme Courts and have subsequently backed down from tighter restrictions for houses of worship. Do you think that this SCOTUS decision emboldens these governors to reimpose these restrictions?
Well, I hope not. I think most of them, if they're getting good counsel, will understand, again, that this was an emergency motion. It was not a decision on the merits. So I think that's number one. They need to understand exactly what this is. But number two, the fact is, these cases, like the one like Calvary Chapel, and there's many others that are still being litigated right now, a number of these show clear violations of the Constitution. And the expectation is that one of these cases will be before the United States Supreme Court, and they will rule on that particular case and hopefully rule in favor of the church, and that'll help the bigger C church as well. We were disappointed, again, that the court didn't allow churches in the state of Nevada to, at the very least, operate at the same level that casinos in the state are operating. Every time I say that, it just sounds completely ridiculous, because it is. But for right now, that's not the case there. But I sincerely hope it doesn't embolden them. But, we're obviously watching what's going on in Nevada and in various states across the United States.
Finally, are houses of worship being singled out by the governor of Nevada?
Well, one would hope not, but I don't know any other way to put it. I mean, if you've got casinos operating at 50% capacity with hundreds of thousands of people going through them, and you've got these churches limited to 50 people, I think the proof is in the pudding. So, yes, I mean, we've got a situation where the church is being relegated to second, third, fourth class status. And that's not the foundation upon which this country was born. Again, here at ADF, we're going to continue to litigate on behalf of Calvary Chapel, Dayton Valley, and others that seek guidance from us throughout this process.
Ryan Tucker is Senior Counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom. ADF represented Calvary Chapel, Dayton Valley. In the case we've discussed, you'll find a link to Alliance Defending Freedom at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Ryan, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
When we come back, it's time to talk about the beliefs and practices of the Amish. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will join us to do so. He's co-author of the Encyclopedic Dictionary of Cult Sects and World Religions.
Since 1978, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Ministries and her workers. Thanks to faithful investors, LCEF has provided thousands of church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations with the low-cost loans and resources they need to reach more people with the saving name of Christ. To learn more, visit lcef.org or call 800-843-5233, 800-843-5233.
Our life together as the church after COVID-19 will bring new challenges. For example, we might be tempted to skip the regular gathering of God's people because we're more comfortable streaming it on Facebook instead. May it not be. Join the Reverend Dr. Mark Wood as he explores this theme in his article for the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness titled, Gathering Again, It Will Not Be the Same. Subscribe at cph.org/witness, The Lutheran Witness, Interpreting the Contemporary World from a Lutheran Perspective, cph.org/witness.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Your church's chrismons are from the 80s. They're made of styrofoam, their glitter is shedding, and they're held together with toothpicks. Now is the perfect time to replace them with Adcruzman's Christmas in July sale. Participating artists have discounted their products, so stock up on jewelry, crucifixes, art, church banners, music, greeting cards, and more. Discounts range from 10 to 50% off. Visit us at adcrucem.com to take advantage of the sale. That's adcrucem.com.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.